Would you like to meet cheap with your friends and family, colleagues or coworkers online for as little as $9.97 a month? You can just go to princedale.meetcheap.com. Hello, everyone. It is Brian here from Bryden Firm, BRIDNFirm.com. And you can find our past videos and podcast episodes at BrydenFirm.productions. And let's see, Marcy Ann, I owe you a phone call. I'm sorry. It is spring on the farm, and things get way too hectic. Hopefully I'll get a chance to phone you before that, but winter, when those days start getting short again, that's when I have the most time. So it's funny, I started doing Fireside Chat, Bryden Firm Fireside Chat, here on Wisdom, on the Wisdom platform, Wisdom app, part of the Wisdom community. And somebody told me about the Fireside Chat app, which I hadn't even heard of before. And now their system doesn't want to cooperate with my system, so I can no longer log in over there. So I'm just going to continue doing our Bryden Firm Fireside Chat here on Thursday nights at 9 Atlantic, 8 Eastern. And just continue to use that. This recording for our podcast episodes. And actually, I'm going to share this out to some of our social media people. Not that they're apt to jump on right away, but you can just never tell. So let's get it out there to Facebook. Join now live. Should do it if anybody out there is looking. And it seems like a little bit of a slow night, slow start here on Wisdom. Just kind of ramble on a bit and see if there's anybody actually on the app who might show up. And the other thing I'm going to do is go back over to Facebook for a moment and actually see what that looks like. Listen to Bryden Firm Fireside Chat, Family, Parenting, Home, and Garden, and Wisdom. Well, hope I have a guest. because they're coming over here looking for wisdom. Unless they're going to talk to some of our goats. Or pigs, or rabbits, or chickens, or Muscovy ducks, or dogs, or cats, or kittens. I'm too tired to have any wisdom. But I do see that Cecilia is starting her kudos talk here on Wisdom. And if you're not familiar with what that is, I want to give a little shout out because Cecilia, for well over a year now, has been helping us all celebrate our wins, great and small. And she does that every night at 8 Eastern here on the Wisdom app. And you can find us, if you listen to this later, you can find us on the Wisdom app at wisdom.app/Bryden Firm. And this week, at Bryden Firm, as I say, has been busy. We have Meat King chicks that are now 5 weeks old, out on pasture, and growing like weeds. And the other thing growing like weeds is lupin. Yeah. Lupin is toxic to animals. especially cows and sheep, and that's why we don't have cows and sheep until we can get pasture developed that will sustain them and doesn't have, isn't full of toxic plants. And so that's a big part of what we're trying to do over to the barn property. And I think it was last week here on our own property at Bryden Farm, I planted our potatoes. I began planting Kennebec and Irish cobbler potatoes, and was able to finish our potatoes here at this location. Do it all by hand. Well, we do have a tiller, but basically do it all by hand. Started back in 2021 when we first put our goats here, and then in the spring of 21 did our pigs. And so we use rotational fencing and regenerative farming methods, and we're turning woodland into pastures, into gardens. And so we began by putting the goats through, and they trim everything from the knee up, the pigs, everything from the knee down, including the underground. They actually bring the rocks to the surface. So what happens is, after you move them in the ground they've been on, rests for even a couple of weeks, you begin to see grass growth, even under trees, even in the woodland. And so as the goats open that up and the pigs go through, it allows more sunshine to come in. And that spurs and awakens the ancient seed bed and spurs the grass growth. And then, as we cut firewood to heat our home in the winter, that we do selective cutting. And that further opens up the canopy so that the sunlight can come in and the grasses begin to grow even more. Now that's what we do here at Bryden Farm. We've been asked to, and we've been since the end of August last year, 2020. Also working on a friend's property to help keep their fields, their old burnout hay fields, from growing up in trees and becoming woodland like this place has, because this place used to have a lot of pastures and gardens, but left on its own for 35 to 40 plus years, it has reverted back into woodlands. And so that's why here at Bryden Farm, we turn it into pastures and gardens. Or that's why we're having to turn woodland into pastures and gardens, to give us the space for that. And then that becomes pastures under trees, or also known as silvopasture. And by the way, you can go over to brydenfarm.productions, and that's where you'll find our videos and previous podcast episodes. And you can also visit our store link there and get my most recent book that explains a lot of this. And so the other thing is, I started planting the garden over to the barn property, and actually got in two rows of potatoes, got in the Kennebec, golden russet, and Adirondack blue. And by the way, here I mentioned that we had planted Kennebec and Irish cobbler. We also planted the golden russet, Adirondack blue, which is a blue flesh, blue skin potato. Huckleberry gold, which is a red skin, yellow flesh potato. and Lorette, which is a fingerling potato that's never really caught on in the mainstream, but it's used by a lot of upscale, especially French restaurants. And so those are the types of potatoes, variety of potatoes that we have planted. And over at the barn property so far, I've got in the Kennebec potato, the russet gold, and the Adirondack blue. So lots of work going on there. I was kind of pleased to see, actually very pleased to see, that where the pigs had worked the garden plot last fall, and then once over the spring, helped loosen it back up, they really, really, really do bring the rocks to the surface. You may not know this, but pigs, people think they're dirty. Well, pigs are actually clean. Yes, they go and sometimes roll in the mud to ward off any parasites, that flies or other things that might be bugging them, pun intended, bugging them. And rolling in the mud helps that. It also helps to cool them, because a pig does not have sweat glands, so they can't regulate their body temperature as well as we can. And so when it's a hot day for us, you can imagine that pig needs to cool off. That's one of the ways they do it. But a pig is actually very fastidious and very clean. In fact, in their pasture, they will choose a spot for their toilet. And they all go there to that corner, and that's where they use the toilet. So they're very particular that way. And so over at the garden, there's one corner where their toilet, and I tilled that up, and that was full of rocks. The area that I planted the potatoes in, they had worked up but hadn't put any manure on, because the toilet's in the corner, not where the potatoes are. And that had rocks on the surface, large and small. And I looked at the surface and I'm thinking, well, you know, I know pigs bring up rocks, but they're not really gonna, you know, I mean, this ground's gotta be full of rocks. And I was pleasantly surprised, because they had really brought up a lot of rocks. I would say about 80% of the rocks that were in that soil, they had brought up to the top from big to small. And so that was pretty impressive, pretty surprising for me to see just how many rocks those pigs actually do bring up to the surface. So you can remove the rocks and there you go, you plant. And the other thing is, through the winter we practice deep bedding methods, which means that basically we put in a layer of hay, allow the animals to do their waste on that, and then we add in another layer of hay, and once that gets to be about 4 inches thick, it begins to compost. And as compost heats up, it helps keep the animals warm, and those layers continue through the winter until spring. And so the stalls are now full of composted manure and hay, which will help on the garden in a limited way this year, because really it should sit for 6 months to a year. So in the fall is when it will really get majorly applied, and that will break down in the soil till next spring, and then I'll do another sort of light application like I will this year, and next year that soil will improve, and the year after it will really be a beautiful soil to plant on. And that's what we've seen here at Bryden Farm this year. 2 years ago, it was woodland, mostly ash and poplar, hardwoods. And when I went to plant in it, I could see that there was so many roots and such poor soil that I planted corn, and which didn't develop. It grew stalks, and the ears didn't develop, but we were able to feed the stalks to our goats, and it, the roots of the corn helped to break up the soil. And then last year, we put the pigs through there again and chickens through there, and we grew a decent garden. Not a great garden, but a decent garden. And we noticed that there were a lot fewer roots. And this year, when I planted the potatoes here, that soil was light and fluffy and just beautiful to plant in. So I'm looking forward to that, definitely. To see what we really can grow here this year. Now, last year, so on good soil in the past, not here, I'm going to say 10, 15 years ago, on good soil, I grew potatoes, and I was pulling out about 10 pounds of potato every foot. 2 years ago here, I was lucky to get a pound per foot. And last year, it was around 2 pounds. And I suspect that this year here, we'll probably grow about 4 pounds per foot. And over at the barn property, maybe 2 to 3 pounds. Still not great. It takes about 3 to 5 years to really develop soil to where it's going to produce a great garden. But that is the process. And over at the barn property, I mentioned doing a light layer of compost and manure. I don't put the manure, because it's from this winter, I don't put that in the ground and then plant my potatoes in the ground with that, because the manure is too fresh. So I wait for 6 months to a year, put it on in the fall, and till it in, and next spring that'll be good. What I'll do is I'll side dress after the potatoes start to come up. I'll side dress with that composted, with that compost. I'll put it on the sides so that it doesn't come in direct contact with the potato. It may come in contact with the plant. That's okay. Now, the squash, cucumber, pumpkin, the squash family, that I plant in hills. And I will put in the composted manure, put that in the hills, put the soil, mix it in the soil, but in the center will be that composted manure with the soil over. And then I'll plant the squash family, whether it's pumpkin squash or cucumbers or zucchini, I'll plant that on the hill. And so the roots will go down and get the nourishment from that compost. But the pumpkin, squash, zucchini, and cucumber won't actually touch the manure. So that's kind of how I deal with that in the spring, with the spring dressing, because we grow as natural as possible, using no chemical fertilizer other than, everything's good. Everything's basically made up of chemicals, but we don't go buy chemical fertilizer. So we do it all natural. Organic used to mean that a vegetable was grown on ground where there had been no chemical fertilizer used for 5 years. And organic has over the years been watered down to where it doesn't really mean anything. So we grow as natural as possible. And just thinking about that a little bit, tongue in cheek, there's actually no regulation on the term natural. So if you and I want to be legal, not necessarily ethical, we could actually create a product, put in a couple of natural ingredients, and put a label on it that says contains natural ingredients, and we would be within the law. Now that's legal. Raw milk from a dairy goat or a cow, that's not legal in most places, which is just a little bit asinine. Anyway, go check out the Raw Milk Institute and begin to look into the benefits of healthy raw milk. The getting back to the gardens, I feel in a lot of ways I've probably chewed off more than I can manage, but I'm just taking it a day at a time, a week at a time, and planning it out as I go, and we'll get as much of it done and looked after as possible. So we did get the Meat King chicks out on pasture. They are 5 weeks old and weigh, I would say, close to 2 pounds. And in, well, 2 weeks ago, they looked like chicks. And now they look like small chickens. They grow incredibly fast. And having them out on pasture should definitely make a good quality meat. And you still have to feed them because they don't particularly break down the grasses and the pasture forage. They're not really efficient at that. So you have to feed them to keep them up to snuff. The other thing that we have out on pasture now are our rabbits. And we have 8 males, which is about 6 too many. But we have 8 males and 8 females, and all the females have been bred. And they actually should be having their little ones come next Wednesday, the 18th of May, 23. And today, we moved the females. Now, they're in cages because we wanted to house them all together or have them all in the same run. But what will happen is your dominant male will castrate the other males, and your dominant female will spay the other females. Yep, that's nature, folks. And so we have them in cages. I find it kind of ironic. We actually have them in old mink cages, mink being a predator of a rabbit, but now the rabbits are living in the mink houses. If you can picture a 6-foot wire cage divided into 3 sections and 2.5 feet wide and 1.5 feet high, that's what they are in, and they get moved every day onto fresh grass, so they get a new salad every day. But today we actually took the females and put them in cages to get them prepared for, with a nesting box on them, to get them prepared for having their kids. That's what you call a baby bunny, is a kid. And actually the males are bucks and the females are does, which is kind of interesting because when it comes to our goats, we also have bucks and does, commonly referred to as billies and nannies, but really a goat is a cousin to, they're kind of a domesticated deer, and so you have bucks and does. I'm not exactly sure why, but rabbits are also referred to as bucks and does, and when they have their babies, those are known as kits. And the mother rabbit is very nervous. And if she gets too nervous, she will eat her little ones. Again, nature being nature. They usually or quite often, will eat their first litter. So, those are a few of the raw, nasty, but brutally honest traits of nature and how things are done. And it's not just on the farm that way. Nature can be beautiful. Nature can also be very cruel in many ways. And people sometimes fail to realize that. We also have some pheasant chicks. And I'd like to be able to put those in, and will be putting those in tractors, mobile units out on pasture. But with pheasants are very high strung, very flighty, and may not adapt well to what we refer to as a chicken tractor or bunny buggy for our rabbits. I want to give a shout out to my friend Doobie. I see you're there. Thanks for the thumbs up or balloons up, whatever that is. It's been a very hectic week. Haven't hardly been on Wisdom or anything else. It's this time of year when I begin to train myself to get up at daylight, which is around 5 a.m. and get things done in the cool of the morning and then take a rest. And even though I'm up here in Nova Scotia, Canada, I like to say a siesta in the afternoon. And to me, that makes perfect sense. And then go back and do another couple of hours of work in the evening. So that way you get to work in the cool of the day and rest in the heat of the day. And it makes for a long day from 5 or 6 in the morning to, next month it'll be from 5 or 6 in the morning to 9 or 10 at night. And stretches the day out. I don't particularly like winter a whole lot. But and Coolio and D. Jones, been a long while. Thank you for the follow. And I don't particularly like winter, but I'll tell you, by the time you put in a summer on the farm and those days start getting shorter, you're almost looking forward to the longer evenings where you get to rest more. But it's all part of the process, all part of the enjoyment. And if there is anybody listening and you have questions or comments, then feel free to click join the conversation button. And while I'm waiting to see if anybody's going to do that, I'm just going to run down the list of people here on Wisdom that have been listening, whether they listen for a minute or they're actively listening. It doesn't exactly break that down, but we like to say that they at least, you know, stop by. And that would be Coolio, D. Jones, Doobie, TaylorMade, Andrew Johnson, Alyssa, Nikita Hunt, Unapologetically Love and Energy, Certified Holistic Doula, Life Coach, Meditation Coach, and Facilitator. Okay. Nikita, I'm not sure that we've had the opportunity to talk, but that's interesting. Chuck and my friend Marcy Ann. So thank you all for tuning in. I think the number just went from 7 to 9. So if I missed a couple of you, I apologize. But I do Sunny. Yeah, Sunny and Doobie. All right, cool. Thank you all for listening. If there's no one that's going to jump in the queue for conversation, that's all right. If you are, do it now, because otherwise I'm going to close this for this talk. But I certainly am here for questions or conversation if anyone would like to click the join the conversation button. So I'm just gonna do a countdown from 3, 2, and 1, and if there's no one, then I am out of here. So thank you all, appreciate you, and hope to talk to you again soon. I'm considering changing my regular Thursday night talk to a When It Happens talk, because things are just getting so busy through the summer. I'll let you know next week. Anyway, have a good night, everyone. Ciao for now. And 3, 2, 1. Would you like to have your family website, or perhaps one for your business or nonprofit? Go to princedale.gogvo.com and you can get started for under $10 a month. Get started today at princedalegogvo.com.